We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. As we continue preaching through this chapter, as we've said before, we're slowing down a little bit in this section. I'm going to preach two messages on this very important subject of laughter, comedy. Last week, I laid a foundation for when we should laugh and when we should not laugh. The title of my message today is Dejected Jesters. Dejected Jesters, the tragic lives of many comedians. Dear Father, we do pray You'll bless the preaching of Thy Word. Thank You, Father, for a beautiful day outside. Thank You that we're in church. Thank You that You're good to us. And we do pray for conviction and blessing and all that You want to give us today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says there's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. But there is a laughter that is of the world. Remember, it says over there in Corinthians that there's a sorrow of the world. There's a good sorrow, but there's a sorrow of the world that works death. In the same way, there's a laughter, there's a comedy of the world that works death. And this has become an addiction, even for many Christians today. You grew up with this madness of unclean, sarcastic, wicked comedy. It's affected your life. It's affected your attitude toward life. It's affected your worldview. It's made you who you are today. A clone. Just as Hitler and the Nazis used ridicule for propaganda purposes, that is what has happened in this day and age. And many are not even aware. Solomon says in chapter 2, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? There is a certain laughter that is insane. I'm going to prove it to you today. It's insane to mock God, folks. God's not mocked. It's insane to ridicule truth and godliness and holiness. It's insanity. It's mad. I don't care if you get everybody in the world to laugh with you. I don't care if you join hand in hand with the wicked. You shall not go unpunished. They're not laughing when the Lord comes. When judgment comes. Look at Titus 2 and look how contrary it is to the worldly spirit. Titus 2 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now the Bible said in the last days they're not going to endure sound doctrine. So listen now, hold on. That the aged men be sober and grave. That's the first thing. If you're a mature Christian, if you're an older Christian, it's time for you to be sober and grave. As an example to young people. In other words, when it's time to be serious, you're serious. You don't mock the things of God. We don't sing songs that have to do with Jesus in a funny way. In other words, the things of God. There might be clean comedy. I believe there is to some degree. But you better make sure that you're reverent where we need to be reverent. The aged women, likewise. So you're to be sober and grave. That they may teach the young women to be sober. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. What's the pastor called to do? Go around exhorting the aged to be sober. To be sober. Whether you're male or female. Young people, be sober. Be sober. What does it mean to be sober? Not to be drunk. Not this stupid spirit today that's on so many young people. So many old people. I'm not talking about having fun. We went through all of that. I'm not talking about rejoicing. I'm not talking about doing a jig in your house and celebrating and having a good time. I'm talking about using ridicule and a murmuring, sarcastic spirit against the things of God. I'm talking about Proverbs 14. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. So you go backslide. You go walk the way that is not good. And I don't care how many friends you get around you that are laughing, how fun it is to go against God. Go ahead and mock religion, mock the things of God, mock the Bible, mock holiness, call them legalists, call them Pharisees. We know the truth. We know how sad you really are. We know how empty you really are. How heavy you really are behind that mask of comedy. Before we take a look at the tragic lives of many comedians, I want to call your attention just for a moment to the word commodious. I started to title the sermon, Commodious Comedians. The word commode comes from the French word for convenient. Now listen to this. Latin commodus. It means convenient. It means convenient. Commodious means convenient, fit, proper, suitable. Webster tells us commodious means convenient, suitable, fit, proper, adapted to its use or purpose. Acts 27, this word is in the Bible. It says, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. Commodious. It's not suitable. It's not fit. Not convenient to stay here. Now listen, now that you know what commodious means, it just means convenient, a synonym for convenient. Look at Ephesians 5. Neither filthiness. Well, there goes much humor today. Nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't laugh at them. Don't have pleasure in them. Don't make fun. God, don't mock sin. I tell you what, folks, don't make a mock of sin. Don't mock God. It's not convenient to your happiness. It's not convenient to you getting into the kingdom. It's not convenient to you growing in the Lord. It's not convenient to you or anybody else being blessed, but giving thanks. Oh, that is the type of joy. The joy of thanksgiving. The joy of a thankful heart to God. That's convenient. It helps you grow. It helps others grow. Dictionary.com says commode is from the French commode, meaning convenient. Now listen. There can be a commodious use of humor. Elijah mocking. Come on now. Elijah mocking the priest of Baal. Paul calling the Greeks superstitious. Ridicule in a sense of irony. When humor is used for true godliness, true happiness, I believe it can be convenient in the right balance, the right time. But there is a humor, listen to me, children. There is a humor that is dark, unclean, blasphemous, and evil. And I want you children to understand this. We might say it's commodious comedy. Not in the sense of it's convenient for edification and godliness. It's commodious because it's odious, because it stinks. In the South, we call toilets commodes. There used to be a cabinet that would hold it. And so that's where it came from. So I believe there's a lot of toilet humor out here. There is a commodious comedy that's not convenient. It's not convenient to holiness. You know, even children's books today, By and large, the children's movies, it's filled with what they call potty humor. Even the world calls it potty humor. It's just sick, vile, gross, things that you shouldn't be laughing at. Things that's just disgusting in many ways. Odious, by Webster, says offensive to the senses, disgusting, an odious sight, an odious smell. Oh, we got a lot of commodious comedians today, right out of the toilet. Disgusting, offensive. An odious smell, says Webster. Proverbs 30 says, one of the main things that's wrong with the world, I didn't say it, God said it. If you don't like it, nothing you can do about it. God said it. And you might as well accept it and believe it. God says one of the main things wrong with the earth today is an odious woman who gets married. God said that, not me. Why? Because it just messes up everything. It messes up the picture of the church obeying God. It messes up the children. When children get messed up, it messes up the society. An odious woman. So listen, when you are commodious in a good way in your speech, you edify others and edify yourself. But when you're commodious in the sense of a toilet, when you are unclean in your humor, when you are filthy and biting and sarcastic and dark, you don't edify anybody and you don't edify yourself. You poison others. Toxic. I don't want my food grown in dung. And God forbid, dung ought not come out of our mouths. Paul says neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting. You know what I found out in a little study? A little look at this. The comedians that were the vilest, the comedians that were the most blasphemous, suffered the most. Now wait a second, what will stop everything? I thought they're supposed to be happy. They're the false prophets of profanity. They're supposed to be our Pied Pipers leading you. Oh, just mock church, mock your parents, mock the things of God, mock Christianity, mock the Bible, mock Jesus, take His name in vain. Let's all have a good time. It's a big party. Life is a party. Why aren't you happy then? Why are you miserable? If they're miserable, then don't follow their wicked words. I'm telling you, young people, you get around folks and you find some humor that's mocking the things of God. You think it's so cute. You think it's so funny. Throw it in the trash can. There's nothing manly about it, nothing godly about it. Some of us have been in the world. We've had to use speech to defend ourselves. We've had to walk in that crowd and in that world. And a lot of us could do it if we choose to. We can be just as insulting, just as sarcastic, just as bitter, just as biting, finding out what your weakness is and nailing it and exposing it. We could do that just like everybody else. Some are more gifted at it than others. But some are far more practiced at this than you realize, but they've repented of it. You understand that? And just because we don't respond back in that way doesn't mean we're weak or incapable. It means we've chosen a better path. Paul says in Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up people that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Colossians 3, but now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. How can you sit and listen to that trash? How can you listen to people mock your Lord Jesus Christ? Now notice Proverbs 18. You better learn this, folks. You better learn it as a young man. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Listen to me. What you say out of your mouth determines whether you live or not. It determines your quality of life. To a large degree. Now and at the coming judgment seat of Christ? When I was in the world of music, the worldly world of music, we owned a music store. My mom owned a music store in Arlington, Texas. And right next, they put a funny bone club. Comedians. And my band would be practicing in the music store at night, and they would hear the music, and these comedians would come over. And I got to see the dark side of comedy. I got to see them when they're not on stage. I got to see them try to put on that mask, and then after a while they would take it off, and they would actually tell you, it's not what you think. It's kind of depressing. A lot of them were on drugs. They were no better than the musicians. The magicians had the musicians had a mask on. So when you think they're happy, when they get up there and strut and do all of that stuff and they're ridiculing the thing, and you think they're happy, see them after the show. Or see them when they're on the down, when the cocaine is out of their nose and they're actually withdrawing from everything. See them when the mask is off. A young man in middle age finally realizes that this is life. He's not following God, has no other purpose to live. He goes to work. He works overtime. He makes money so he can buy a few things on the weekend and have fun. And he starts to realize, wait a minute, where is the party they told me life was? So he pays some money and goes to see an aging rock band. They get up there and say, oh, rock and roll all night, party every day, fun, fun, fun. And he sits there and lives that fantasy for an hour, and he has so much fun, and he looks like a little kid, but he has to go to work the next day. The people that are in the band, most of them can't live that way. Nobody can live without responsibility and get anywhere. It's a business. It's a business of giving you a fantasy so you will participate for a few minutes and think we can forget God. We can forget the things that are important in life. We can just be a bum and irresponsible and everything's going to be all right. It's just a fantasy, folks. You paid money for that ticket for them to tell you that. Whether it's a rock and roll concert or whether it's a comedian, you're paying money for them to tell you something that is not true in a way that sounds believable. That's what modern church has become. I moved to Texas and saw rock and roll guitar players walking around strutting and making strange sounds out of their mouth and acting like idiots and fluffing their hair all up and all kinds of things. And when I finally met them and became friends and we were in private, I told them, I said, man, I didn't like you very much. Daryl Abbott, Pantera, who's dead now. I said, I'm going to tell you why. I didn't like how you strutted around. I didn't like all that fake stuff. I can't stand the mask. I can't stand the wooing and the just that whole attitude. He says, man, don't you understand? This is the business. Don't you understand? I've got to put forth that attitude. That's our sell product. The mask. Proverbs 12, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Brother, look at that and just listen for a second. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. How you speak determines your satisfaction in life, your happiness in life. Oh, but I've seen people, you said, I see people blaspheme God all the time. They have nice cars, they've got riches, they've got all kinds of things. You can have your belly full and not be satisfied. See, Solomon's going to tell you that over and over. Ecclesiastes 5, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, but are you happy? He that loveth abundance with increase, are you happy? Are you happy? Solomon says there are those that have abundance but no power to eat. And there are those that are eating but are not satisfied in their eating. The sluggard grieves at even lifting the spoon to his mouth. Comedian Michael Ian Black says every year a great comedian is lost to overdose or suicide. Why? Because they're liars. Everything they're selling you is a lie. And if they can mock enough Christians, mock God enough, and be a little funny as they do it, they'll be given the spotlight temporarily. The devil will use them, then spit them out of his mouth. Let's begin in the 20th century. We're going to skip over the vaudeville comedians of the early 20s with their drugs and harlots. And by comedian, I'm not talking about the monkey man scientist today. I'm talking about people that did stand-up comedy and acted in movies and TV. But they might as well, it's pretty much the same crowd to me. I want you, especially you young people, I want you to reject these false prophets. See, don't get me wrong. You might be in a rebellious, fleshly mood and actually find some of that stuff funny. And some of these people do have some talent to put some things together to say things that can be funny. But when you think about their lives, when you think about the propaganda, the people that are using them, pay attention, children. Look at me. Look at the preacher. When you think about the judgment and just simply know a little bit about what's behind their mask, you'll run away from it. You'll say, I'm not listening to that. I want nothing to do with it. Get away from me. I want nothing to do with your crowd. I'll begin by Lenny Bruce, somebody that I never heard of, but he died when I was born. One writer says, in the conservative America of the late 1950s, Bruce emerged as a leading proponent of what was called sick humor. So in some ways, he started it all. He was often arrested for obscenity. He mocked religion. He mocked the South. He was a drug addict. He was found dead of a drug overdose at 40 years old. Thankfully, I've never heard of him. But a lot of people followed him. You're starting to see what can happen in the 1950s, late 1950s. Mock God, mock religion. Sick humor. Be obscene. And you'll get some attention. You'll get some attention. Well, how happy was he, brother? How happy was he? Dying of an overdose. Then there's George Carlin, born in 1937. He was called the dean of counterculture comedians, very anti-Christ. Brother, pay attention. He called the Bible science fiction. Although born to a Catholic family, he rejected religion, all anything associated with Christianity. Not that Catholicism is Christianity, but you understand my point. His parents separated when he was 2 months old, raised by his mother. You're going to see a common theme here. A common theme. Broken families. A lot of these prophets that are used by the devil to laugh people into hell come from broken families and are alienated from fathers, that type of thing. This George Carlin, it's all fake. He hired managers to reinvent his image for a young generation. So he gets up there and he can't speak a sentence without blaspheming Jesus Christ. And I've never even saw him. I've never seen anything with him in it except for a few video clips in documentaries or something that I was watching where they said, oh, listen to this fella, George Carlin. So who is this fella? You know, I'm like, he can't even speak a few words without blasphemy. You know, get him off my screen. I want nothing to do with this fella. He acts like a little teenage brat that's rebelling against his parents. And maybe he appeals to a whole bunch of rebels out there that are just angry with their own fathers, angry at God. I want nothing to do with it. He used pot, LSD, mescaline. In 2004, he entered a drug rehabilitation facility for treatments to alcohol because of his addiction to alcohol and Vicodin. He died with heart problems. What a tragedy this man was. But nevertheless, this is the leaders for many people. The leaders of an entire generation. Praise God, I never heard of them. Very much. Then there's Richard Pryor. Unfortunately, now we're moving into somewhat of my childhood. Born in 1940, died in 2005. Blasphemed the Lord, filthy, profane, took it to the next level of profanity. This man had a tragic life. His own mother was a prostitute. And his own grandmother, the matriarch of the patriarch ring, prostitute ring. He turned to riotous living and drugs, married 7 times. He tried to kill himself at the height of his fame in the 80s by lighting himself on fire. Finally got MS and he died of a heart attack. The BBC is more truer than they realize when they say the demons that drove Richard Pryor to make us laugh. The demons that drove Richard Pryor to make us laugh. I'm sad that I've heard of this fellow. I'm sad that they would play it on my school bus as I went to school. I'm sad that I was exposed as a child to that wicked, blasphemous, unclean humor of this man. Was he a happy man? No, he tried to kill himself. I'm sorry the way he was raised. I'm sorry to have such a terrible way that you've raised. But you've got to respond to things that you can't help in a godly way. We have to do what's right. And we can't let the hard knocks of life make us even more wicked. We got to turn to God. Much of it isn't funny at all. But I don't want you to think that there isn't any humor. I don't want you to think that no worldly person that's against God could make you laugh in the flesh about anything. The devil uses people with talent, but they use their talent for the wrong way. There's musicians out there. A lot of them are just sorry musicians. But some of them are talented on their instruments, but they use it for the devil, see. There are many people that are beautiful. They have beautiful looks, but they use it for the devil. So don't come to me and say, well, he's funny. I don't care if he's funny. What you'll find is, the more mature you get in Christ, the more you don't think it's funny. And once you learn who God is and start knowing God and walking with Him and understanding the fear of the Lord, you really won't think it's funny. No. You'll get far away from people blaspheming the Lord, taking the name of the Lord in vain. Bad things happen to people that take God's name in vain. Believe me. I've seen it. Even cleaner black comedians pointed out the absurdity of his filthiness and blasphemy and profanity. Then there's Phil Hartman, who died in 1998, born in 1948, I don't know much about him, never heard of him, but he was shot by his wife, full of antidepressants, cocaine, and alcohol. We'll skip over him because he didn't suffer from his own addictions that we know of. Let's move on to John Belushi, 1949, died in 1982. A star of that TV Saturday Night Live when it first started. What did we find out? That all of them use cocaine for energy. You're watching a bunch of coke addicts. That's what you're doing. You're sitting down trying to get humor out of a bunch of coke addicts, a bunch of drug addicts. Oh, let's sit down and eat potato chips and watch the drug addicts. That's what you're doing. You're watching drug addicts. I never found him funny. I never saw a movie with this fella. And any clips that I saw growing up, he didn't seem funny to me. But see, a new humor was entering in on the scene for a new generation. And it's just crude and gross and just so stupid that you pretty much got to be a moron to find it funny. And I can laugh at things, but I really don't find him, or did not even as a kid, find him to be funny. He finally hired a bodyguard to keep him from drugs because he's falling apart. Then later he told his bodyguard, I don't need you anymore, I'm doing okay. And then, of course, went right back to drugs. He died at age 33 of a drug overdose. Folks, what happened to your prophets? What happened to the ringleaders of funny? Why are they so unhappy? Why do they kill themselves? By their destructive lifestyle or by suicide. Then there's Robin Williams, another one of my generation. Going to elementary school. One of my friends in class says, oh, have you seen the TV show Mork and Mindy? It was a new type of humor that was, I mean, really, you got to understand the change that was coming. It was an effeminate, moronic, stupid type of humor that I'd never been exposed to, but it was starting to enter into mainstream. Now, I know there's the Carol Burnett and the Three Stooges and all of that kind of stuff, but this took it to a whole new level of just, wow. I didn't really understand it too much. My friends liked it. And then I've never seen anything else by him, any other movie, anything other than one time I had the unfortunate experience of clicking on a moment of his comedy. I never heard anybody blaspheme God more than Robin Williams. Maybe Richard Pryor did. Maybe George Carlin did. They can't speak a sentence without taking the name of the Lord Jesus in vain. They talk about filthiness, uncleanness, wicked. And then you find out all along that Robin Williams is going to rehab for alcohol addiction. He's battling severe depression. What? Depression? I thought you were the funny guy. He said, I have dark thoughts of suicide. He used alcohol for stress, but then would tell you, I shouldn't be doing this because I know alcohol doesn't make you really happy. He says, I'm using this to deal with stress, but I know it doesn't work. So the whole time he's telling you it doesn't work as he does it, as he continues to blaspheme God. ABC called him a tortured man. Praise God, I was a dedicated Christian by age 23 and I shunned TV. Praise God, I didn't get any more of this wicked man's attitude about life in my heart. Protect your children from wicked people. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And sometimes they don't have the sense not to follow these idiots. My generation, even when we heard that he died back over here in 2014, it shocked people that are my age. Even CNN says this is really mess with people's minds in many ways. They're like, wait a second, he was the funny man of our generation and he was battling depression and the world's trying to cover it up. Yeah, a lot of comedians have this problem. Well, wait a second. You're the one supposed to laugh at God, laugh at Christianity, laugh at morals, and now you're killing yourself with suicide? Who are you following? These people aren't happy. He killed himself. He killed himself. Micah 2 says, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. Hey, welcome to modern Christianity. Who worship comedians. Speaking of prophesying of wine and strong drink, Sam Kinison, another one, unfortunately, that I've heard some of, and I wish that I had not. Born in 1953, died in 1992. I remember when he died, there were some reports of what he said as he laid there in the street, screaming that he didn't want to die, he didn't want to die. There were some friends that I was witnessing to, and it really messed him up. For a while, it really sobered him up, and they said, you know, I think I better turn to God. This really messes me up to hear. He was Mr. Party. He was our leader. He was our leader. All of our prophets are we're seeing when the mask comes off, we're seeing who they really are. I thought he was mocking hell. I thought hell was going to be a party. Here's New York Times. Sam Kinison, 38, a comedian, dies. His wife injured in head-on collision. Sam Kinison, a former tent preacher who gained fame as a shrieking and often insulting stand-up comedian, was killed Friday night in a head-on automobile crash on a desert highway. Mr. Kinison had acknowledged health problems because of drug and alcohol abuse and being overweight. The Baltimore Sun said Sam Kinison's road to self-destruction. He was married 3 times and always had lewd women with him on tour. He had an affair with his fiancée's younger sister. Sam Kinison was killed in 1992 when a car he was driving was struck head-on by a truck driven by a teenager who had been drinking. While the accident certainly was not Kinison's fault, an autopsy showed traces of marijuana, cocaine, codeine, Xanax, and Valium in his body. While his brother Bill Kinison doesn't glorify his addictions, he excuses Sam's addictions too easily. Bill Kinison, truly his brother's keeper, also enabled much of Sam's abuse to take place. When God said be a keeper of your brother, it didn't say help him sin. It didn't say cover it up. Sam Kinison became a Pentecostal preacher after attending Bible school in New York. They say his sermons were the old style. Fire and brimstone, approach. And then all of a sudden his young wife had an affair. And Sam Kinison snapped. Rolling Stone magazine says before each performance. After he and his wife divorced, he gave up the ministry and got involved in comedy. One writer says at first it looked like there were no serious injuries to Kinison, but within minutes he suddenly said to no one in particular, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, according to his friend who was there. It was as if he was having a conversation, talking to some unseen somebody else. Then there was a pause, as if Kinison was listening to the other person speak. Then he asked, but why? After another pause, he just said, okay, 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 and he died. In listening to a sermon of the old Sam Kinison in 1975, he says, I scream at God at the top of my lungs because that's how much I believe in Him. If I can't be myself with the Father, then I'm going to stop preaching this gospel. And let me tell you something, folks. God has a new self for you. Okay? It's the fool that wants to discover his own heart. Romans says that you ought to present your bodies a living sacrifice and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. God has a new self for you. Everybody wants to be their self. Be their self. Why don't you be what God wants you to be? He'll make you more of yourself than you ever were when you give yourself up to Him. One of his close friends says, I think what drove Sam to the world was the hypocrisy in the church and the way his father, who gave up everything for the gospel, was treated badly and not supported. Children, you might see an underbelly of what Christians really are like sometimes. And they do have a flesh. Christians can choose to walk in the flesh or walk in the new man. And sometimes they choose to walk in the flesh. And sometimes a kid's sitting back saying, you know what, look how they're treating my father. And a lot of times, they just look at hypocrisy. They look at, and you know what, they use it as an excuse to go out into the world. It's not an excuse. Sam Kennison in 1985, at the height of his career, says, I don't have any answers for you. In other words, I'm just making money off of you. I don't have any answers. He mocked hell. He mocked Jesus Christ more than Richard Pryor or anybody. Titles of his comedy were Live from Hell. The whole thing was mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? When people are raised in religion to some degree, and then they go bad, there is a bitter hatred for Christians and for the Lord Jesus Christ like you've never seen. There's a certain bitterness that's upon them. I believe that's what the Bible's talking about when it says, beware of dogs and beware of swine. Beware of people that used to be, got cleaned up, and then they've gone back to the vomit. Oh, they'll bite you. They are bitter people. And you'll find a common theme. That some of the most bitter people that Satan used in this comedy had many times grown up in the churches. Rolling Stone says, the devil and Sam Kennison, the preacher turned heavy metal comedian, spreads his unholy gospel, but can he conquer his own demons? Preaching a gospel of irresponsibility to impressionable followers, though, raises serious moral questions. It's hard to tell if Kennison's audience is being entertained or simply getting led down his highway to hell. I mean, when the Rolling Stone magazine, the Rock and Roll magazine, has to say, we're not sure whether this is even right. I mean, you know, there's a line between entertainment and hurting kids. I mean, that's sad when even the rock and rollers say, you know, enough's enough. You got to question this. Rolling Stone says, before each performance, Kennison says he readies himself by silently repeating, I'm him, I'm him. What do you think he's saying? He's basically saying, I'm this person. I've got to enter into my mask. I've got to become what they think I am. Happy. Rolling Stone says, for being a minister... This is actually Kennison. For being a minister, I was made to feel like a geek and an outsider because I believed in God. Ah. So watching his dad not make any money, watching his dad's poverty, watching how Christians treated his dad, and then realizing I'm being laughed at out here in the world for standing for God. Hey, that makes a lot of people listen to the devil. The devil says, well, why don't you just call the church a bunch of hypocrites and, you know, why don't you get out here and be liked by everybody? And that's what Kennison did. Rolling Stone says, the combination of poverty and piety made young Sam feel like a social outcast. Soon after his parents' divorce in 1967, so now you get your parents, who are supposed to be these Christian preachers, and they're divorcing, he began listening to comedy albums by Richard Pryor. And what do evil communications do? They corrupt good manners. See? And so here he is. His parents have divorced. He's seen a lot of bad things. And now he's going to listen to Richard Pryor. See, the devil knows what you need. His real dad was into Jesus. His adopted dad looked at preaching as more of a business and that God didn't seem to reward people for doing it just for love. Rolling Stone says at 21, I mean, he's a young fella here. He married a 19-year-old gospel singer named Gail. He says he caught her cheating on him with a friend of his. That pretty much was the snap. That pretty much was it. It's all over now. And he jumped right into the world. I praise God that I've already seen what's out there. It's wicked from hell. And it'll send you to hell. And there's no happiness there. There's no fulfillment. And no matter what happens to you in life, that's not an option. It's like Peter said, who shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Quitting's not an option. Jesus says, blessed are they who are not offended in me. But I tell you, the devil will raise up some people that will fail you and tempt you to get offended. His brother said, in our religious circle, having your wife cheat on you and have a divorce was like the worst thing that could ever happen to a Christian. He had told me, when he decided to get out of the ministry, that he'd been in there 7 years and he never made as much as $5,000 in any 1 year. Even so, he felt guilty about it up until his last moment when he was killed. He actually talked of going back to the ministry, but then got killed. His words are, let me put it this way. You can make them laugh, but you can't make them happy. It takes God to do that. You know, isn't that amazing? The whole time he's up there, he's saying, I'm making you laugh, but I'm not making you happy. He knew it. He knew it. As an ex-preacher, he knew it. He knew he was selling out. He knew he was selling out. He just had no fear of God. No fear of hell. Maybe at the last moment he did. But you know, I think what he did was he laid there and said, you know what, I made a Faustinian pact with the devil for fame. And this is it? This is what I got? This is what I got out of it? It's as if the devil was saying, hey, that was your ride, buddy. That's what you paid for with your soul. You got the fame. You got the money. You got the party. Hey, you'll never tell the devil that he was honest. The devil's a liar. Then there's this Freddie Prinze fella I never heard of. Died in 1977, but he was a popular comedian on TV, used drugs, suffered from depression. His wife filed for divorce, so he shot himself. Richard Jenny, born in 1957, died in 2007. Blasphemed the Lord. You know, our Bible says, Deuteronomy 5, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In the tragic side of comedy, they say by age 48, his inner life had taken a sudden turn for the worse. He had depression, went to the emergency room for depression, was committed by psychiatrists. He got up one morning and joked all morning in a playful mood, funny and laughing, and his wife went downstairs to cook breakfast as he's laughing and playing, and he went upstairs and shot himself. 49 years old. These are the comedians for this day and age. These are your prophets. Then there's Bill Hicks. Listen to me. Pay attention, children. Born in 1961, died in 1994, raised a Southern Baptist. Started doing comedy acts at a Baptist summer camp at 14 years old. Oh, we know what to expect from this fella. What are we learning? Any church kid goes bad, he goes bad. I mean, it gets bad. You can expect bitter blasphemy, and sure enough, from what I read, this fellow was blasphemous. But then he got struck with cancer. It's as if God has a little more patience with people of the world. Oh, they'll get their hell when it comes. But it seems that these believers, so-called, that go bad, to whatever degree of light they had, it seems God's extra severe with them. So right here at a young life, he gets pancreatic cancer and is about to die. So he goes on David Letterman, and he begins to mock pro-lifers. And he begins to mock the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that after the show, David Letterman says, we're not putting this on the air. We're banning this. The sad thing is this man died shortly after this at 32 years old, demonically anti-Christian. The sad thing is years later, David Letterman puts the comedian's mother on his night show and apologizes before the world and says there was nothing wrong with that humor. In other words, now that we're years later, we can mock pro-lifers and we can mock the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't matter. We won't mock Muslim God. We won't mock any other religion, but we'll mock Jesus Christ. And David Letterman says, I'm sorry, I should have never banned this fella. Then there's Chris Farley. Pay attention, children. Born in 1964, died in 1997. A drunkard, a drug user. Hated being the fat guy that people laughed at, but he was willing to play the part. Saturday Night Live cast, took more drugs, took the Lord's name in vain, went after harlots, died at 33 years old of an overdose of drugs. Hear your prophets. Hear your sarcastic prophets of comedy. I'm going to tell you something. If God would open up hell as He one day will, as the mouth of hell will begin to open up, and you hear the screams of people in hell, when you hear the agony, it's not going to be funny. It's not going to be funny. Going to hell is not funny. Killing yourself is not funny. Then there's Mitch Hedberg. There's just so many of these we could even look at. I don't care. I never heard of this fellow. I never heard of many of these people. Never heard Bill Hicks. Never heard of any of these people. But nevertheless, I was saved at 23 or become an obedient Christian at 23 years old, and I shunned the TV. But some of these people, like Robin Williams and Richard Pryor, I wish I'd never even heard. I wish I'd never even heard. Mitch Hedberg died of a drug overdose, did acid, heroin. Then there's Jim Carrey. Born in 1962. A new generation of stupid beyond Robin Williams. If I never got Robin Williams, I never got this fella. Never. All of his facial expressions and stupidity. Maybe funny for a 2-year-old, but at the height of the world, this fella was never funny to me. He looked like a moron, acted like one. I've never seen one of his movies, but we'd be preaching downtown when some of his movies would come out, and we would see how blasphemous he was in his movies. Just the title of the movies, you know. Had a bad relationship with his father. His father went through poverty times, one time when they had to live out of a Volkswagen camper. This fell at the height of his career. His girlfriend committed suicide and accused him of giving her a disease and introducing her to drugs. So now the man is going around with delusional mysticism. And the world is shocked. But he's just basically giving you the mysticism of Jacob Beam. Here's what he says. He says, this mattering is a human construct. Here's your funny guy. Deities and things like that. I believe in an energy of God. You know, Daniel says they worship a God of forces. Everything is divine. So really, you know what this man has done? So he's basically realized that everything is vain. That you can get all the fame, get all the money, put on a mask, and everybody will praise you, but it's not worth anything. It doesn't matter. Now, you've got two choices right there. You can become a Christian and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, like Solomon did, or you can say, nothing matters. I'm just going to just let myself blow my mind out and realize that I'm just going to turn to Eastern mysticism and nihilism. That's what he did. Everything is divine. And I am that. I'm not the body. It doesn't matter to me. I believe I had to become famous. and get all the stuff that people dream about that look like success in order to give up my attachment to those things. It looks great when you get a cool car and nice clothes and you've done something that people admire, but it can never fulfill you. Hey, here's happy guy. Here's the happy guy of your generation saying he's not fulfilled. He's become a mystic. You can never be happy. It's not where happiness comes from. I dealt with depression a few years ago. The happy place is realizing that you're everything. No, no, you're wrong about that. You're not everything. And there's no real you. So basically he says, I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm one with the universe. No, you're an idiot. But you know what? At least he's realizing the vanity. He gets on talk shows and shows Illuminati signals. And the talk show host say, what are you doing? He goes, don't pretend like you don't know what this is. You know, so he's off his rocker somewhat, but in some ways he's just a new ager like all of them. The feeling of wholeness, I don't exist. They're all characters that I played, including Jim Carrey. I think everybody should get rich and famous and get everything they dream so they can see that that's not the answer. There is a soul and it includes everything. There is no me. You're on a spiritual journey, period. We're all going to end up in the same place. Wrong! He's a modern follower of Eckhart Tolle, who's called the most spiritually influential person in this world, and he's just a mystic, just a new ager. On Tolle's website, it says that Tolle's teaching lies. At the core of Tolle's teaching lies the transformation of consciousness, a spiritual awakening that he sees as the next step in human evolution. This is a prerequisite not only for personal happiness, but also for the ending of violent conflict endemic on our planet. What's he saying? Basically, for this Oprah Winfrey generation, Tolle has taken the satanic teachings of Alice Bailey and rehashed them for this generation, and he's become famous all around the world, and now Jim Carrey's following him. Alice Bailey, back in the 20s, followed Blavatsky. She founded Lucifer Publishing Company. And they just say there's going to be a big bloodbath that's going to come to the world. And you're either with the program, or we're going to have to use violence, because you're either going to evolve to this consciousness of Godhood and visualize world peace with us, or you're going to be a negative vibration and there's going to be a horrible bloodbath that's going to come. So this is what these people are embracing. So when the persecution of Christians comes, they're going to think they're cleansing Mother Earth from negative vibrations, you see. Carrie believes in the occult belief of attraction, the law of attraction, visualization. He shows a check that he visualized for millions and millions of dollars, and he says, now I have this. It came about by visualization, you know. So this fella is, he's a mess. He is now standing against vaccines. He said that he's finally off all of the antidepressants, even coffee. But he's embracing Eastern New Age mysticism, and that's sad. Let me read a few more things to you and we'll close. Young people, I hope you've seen a little of the reality behind the mask. When you think life is being a funny guy and just mocking the things of God, I pray that God will bless you with sobriety today. As you realize these prophets of profanity are in hell, screaming and weeping. And when that rich man went to hell, he was hoping that somebody would go to his brothers and tell him, hey, this is all real. It's not a joke. I see some teenagers sometimes. I've watched them over the years. That foolish spirit can get on them. And they're just saying, I can't wait to get out of here and I'm going to go party. Where did these kids end up? They decided they're going to party. You know, are their lives happy? Are they where God wants them to be? No, you better listen to Solomon. You better listen to these people telling you out of their own mouth, this isn't happiness. Why isn't Jim Carrey happy? Why not John Belushi, Richard Pryor, Robin Williams? Why did he kill himself of suicide? Why did he commit suicide? CNN says the sad clown, the deep emotions behind stand-up comedy. It's no accident that the Laugh Factory in Hollywood has an in-house psychologist. A 1975 study focused on 55 full-time comedians who were highly successful. They had national news coverage and had a salary well over six figures. Despite their enormous success, James found 80% of them had sought some kind of therapy. They were also more likely to be angry, suspicious, and depressed. The comics more often reported being close with their mothers but had more distant and disapproving fathers. Comedians don't live as long as their less funny peers. Comedians have introverted traits that make them asocial and a little emotionally flat. Some also suffer from clinical depression. All their words and all this psychobabble, what it means is they're not finding fulfillment in life because they're sinning. And the way of transgressors is hard. And you need to get back to the Bible and realize there's a way that is right into a man, but the end thereof is death. And even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. God told Cain, I mean, these people, you can't read just four chapters of your Bible. God says, why is thy countenance fallen? If you'll do well, your countenance will be lifted. It's not in mocking religion, Luke. It's not in mocking the things of God, brother. Josiah. The merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Why are all these people sick in the head? Obviously, there's a merry heart that's of the world and there's a merry heart that's of God. And the one that doeth good like a medicine is a good conscience. Hey, if you think these people were depressed and dejected, wait till you see the lives of the writers behind them. At least they had a little bit of the fame. The writers who are writing the jokes, according to the comedians, drunks, thieves, scoundrels in the history of American comedy, the writers of the jokes are even more depressed. He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Watch the words of your mouth. My last verse for you today. Thank you for your patience. I pray you've learned something. 1 Peter chapter 3. He that will love life. He that will love life and see good days. Oh, God wants you to love life, Caleb, and see good days. He that will love life and see good days. Abigail, Timothy. Atara, he that will love life and see good days. Oh, I want to see good days. I want to love life. Is it the way of Richard Pryor and Robin Williams and John Belushi and Jim Carrey making a joke about God and just putting on a mask and always being the funny guy? Is that the way of life to mock religion and never be sober? No. Let it refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Quit the foolish jesting. Quit the filthy talking. Quit the blasphemy of God. Quit mocking religion and authority and godliness and obedience. Quit mocking your parents. Quit rolling your eyes at your parents. Quit mocking authority. And you parents, quit mocking your authorities in your life. And maybe your children will start following something. Amen? You quit being rebellious. Maybe they'll quit being rebellious. I hope you little ones see that it's okay to have fun. It's okay to laugh and have a good time. But if you really, really want to be happy, be the most obedient Christian that you can ever be. And get that smart aleck look off your face. Amen? It's not funny, man. Suicide ain't funny. People dying and going to hell, that ain't funny, man. Nothing funny about it. Dear Holy Father, we do pray. You'll bless these young people and all who hear this sermon, God. For I've read the testimonies of people who said their lives were affected by these comedians and they were not brought closer to God. Their Christian lives were hindered by them. Lord, we got a church, Christianity today, that is heaping to themselves comedians. And many of them are not convenient, God. They're right out of the toilet, even in the churches. We pray You'll bless us, Father, to be sober, to be excited about Your coming, to be mature in our thinking, to grow up, and to be thankful, God. Thank You for all You've done for us. Thank You that You deliver us from our afflictions and sufferings. And it's only for a while, if need be. But You are good, God. And though Christians fail us, though Christians don't support godly teaching and instruction, some do, Lord, and we thank You for that. Let us never use the failures of Your people as justification for our own failures. May we stick by the stuff, endure hardness like a good soldier. We thank You for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Brethren, you got any comments?